book of Genesis, chapter number 5. Getting way back there in the Bible. Genesis chapter number 5. I want to try to bring a message the Lord's laid on my heart this morning. Don't matter how long you live, just what you do with your life while you're here. And we need to realize that. Some folks live and don't ever do anything. Other folks live and seem like they just stay busy for God all the time. But in Genesis chapter 5, and I want to start reading this morning with verse number 18. The Bible said, "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years, and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years, and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died." Father, we want to thank you this morning for the service. Thank you for the scripture reading today. Lord, I ask you just to bless in the preaching this morning, Father. Lord, bless your messenger today. Lord, help us this morning that we just bring the message that you would have brought, God, to this congregation. Help us, Lord, that we would remember and realize something from the Word of God today. Lord, just touch every heart in this building, as I know you will and you can. Lord, I ask you to touch everybody here this morning. God, just help us all that we would get our lives centered around your precious Word. God, whatever you do here this morning, we'll give you the praise, honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It don't matter how long you live, how long your life is, but what does matter is what you do with the life that you live. In Genesis chapter number 5 and verse number 18, we found a man named Jared that lived 162 years and had a son named Enoch. Now, most people today are not going to even live 162 years, let alone live 700 and something years after that. But in the Bible days, they lived long lives. And I can't explain why, except that there was no people on the earth much, and God said to replenish the earth. And so they lived long lives, and the Bible said, and always names the firstborn son that they had. And then it said they lived 600 or 700 more years and begat sons and daughters. Now, how many sons and daughters could you have in 700 years? A bunch, I imagine. So these people lived a long, long time. And Jared lived like the rest of them. He was 962 years old when he died. I'm telling you something, I can't even imagine living that long. I used to think, man, I want to live forever. The farther I get down this road, I'm not sure about that. I mean, I'm going to live forever in heaven. I'm going to have a new body that won't know pain or heartache or sorrow or anything like that. That'll be different. But I want to tell you something, if I had to live 900 or 1,000 years in this wore out thing, I don't know. I don't think I'd want to do that. But you see, I don't believe that people in that day, they couldn't have aged like we do. There's no way they could have. And there's a lot of reasons why I say that. But you couldn't live 962 years. You'd be a vegetable. There's just no way that the aging process then could have been what it is now. But anyway, Jared had a son named Enoch. And Enoch, the Bible said that he lived 65 years and had a son named Methuselah. Now, most people that I know today at 65 years old, having children would be the farthest thing from their mind. I mean, I want to tell you something. I just want somebody to shoot me. I mean, I'm telling you, a child at 65 years old is something that I can't even imagine, and I'm sure I couldn't tolerate. I told my wife once, I said, reason God give us children while we're young, because our nerves are better. When you get older, you just, grandchildren are fun coming around, but they're a lot more fun when they're going away. And you can spoil them, give them chocolate when you're not supposed to, give them Cokes and all that other stuff, get them all hyped up, and send them home with mom and dad. Hey, and watch them go. I want to tell you something. At 65, I don't need children, you know. But Enoch was 65 when he had his first son. His name was Methuselah. And after that, Enoch had Methuselah, he lived 300 years and had sons and daughters. And Enoch, he was a young man when he started his family. 65, that's not young. Well, the rest of them was 170 and 80 when they started. So it is young for the time. And so Enoch, he had a son named Methuselah, and he lived until Methuselah was 300 years old and Enoch died. Methuselah lived about 100 and something years, the Bible said. And he had a son named Lamech. And Lamech had a son named Noah. Now the point that I'm trying to make in all this morning, if we look at the scriptures here, and we read, I haven't counted all the names that's mentioned from Adam up to Noah, but you know, most of them I can't name. I can tell you about Lamech because I just read about him last night and this morning. Don't ask me next week or Wednesday night who he was, because I probably won't remember. He's not important. Jared was another one. That was Enoch's dad, and Jared is somebody that I read Jared, I think about Subway. You know, so don't ask me on Wednesday who Jared was, because I probably won't remember. There, a lot of these folks, what I'm saying, they're insignificant. But then you've got those that are significant and they're famous, I would say. And so I want to preach this morning with the help of the Lord on a couple of famous people in this period of time. And the first one that I want to look at this morning is Methuselah. And let's just look at what we know about Methuselah and Enoch for just a few minutes. First of all, they were famous men that lived before the flood. Both of them did. And I say they're famous because just about everybody that reads the Bible and goes to church for any length of time can tell you who Enoch is, and they can also tell you who Methuselah is. That's two names that just kind of sticks out from this time period from all the rest of them. They're almost as significantly mentioned as Noah is, and everybody in the world knows who Noah is. He built a boat to rescue the world from the big flood. But these people today, Enoch and Methuselah, they were famous people. And they're two of only about three or four that we could name. If somebody said name all the people you can back here in the Bible, you'd say, well, Methuselah, Enoch, Noah, and now that'd be just about what you'd get out of most people, because it isn't very significant. But another thing about Methuselah is he was famous for one thing. He lived 969 years. Now, if I ask you, even this morning before church, who is Methuselah? Oh, he's that man that lived 969 years. Not only do you know he lived a long time, 9 out of 10 people can tell me the number of years that he lived, because that's what he is famous for.
Amen.
He is known in the Bible above the rest of these people because he lived longer than anybody recorded in the pages of God's Word. So we know that Methuselah, he lived before the flood, and he was famous. And we know he was famous because that he lived 969 years. And his name is only mentioned in the Bible 6 times. And 5 of them are in this 5th chapter of Genesis. And then if you go over to 2 Chronicles, or I guess 1 Chronicles maybe, in the genealogy and the lineage of things, his name will come up one more time. That's all that he has mentioned. What do we know about him? Very little. We just know that he lived a long time. That's about all that there is to know about Methuselah. But one more thing that I do know about him is that he was Noah's grandfather. Methuselah begat Lamech, and Lamech begat Noah. So that makes Methuselah is Noah's grandfather. So we do know that, and that I guess that in itself would add to his fame just a little bit. But if I ask you who's Noah's grandfather, you probably couldn't have told me 5 minutes ago. But if I ask you who Methuselah was, you could have told me. But you just wouldn't equate the two. It's insignificant. But it's still important, these things are.
Yeah.
What was Methuselah famous for? Absolutely nothing that I can figure out. There's not enough written in the Bible about him to know what he's famous for, except long life and having a grandson named Noah. That's about all there is to this man named Methuselah. He may have accomplished something in his life, but we are not told that. We do not know that. You read some of these people, and it says on one of the names I read, he was a family that kept cattle. He was a cowboy. So he was would have been famous for being a cowboy. He herded cattle. He kept cattle and livestock. There was another one, the Bible said, that he built a city.
Yeah.
And named it after his own self. That's what they did. You think they wasn't proud of their self? Build a city and name it after you. That's a good idea. You know, if you want people to remember who you are, name a city after yourself. That ought to do it for a few years. After that, nobody won't remember. Some of these people actually did something. Methuselah, as far as I can tell, he didn't do anything. He just lived a long time. His 969th birthday, they probably said, boy, Methuselah, you're going down in history and everybody's going to remember you. Probably not. But that's all that I find that he did. And he's famous for it. You know, there's people today that are famous for things. Some people are famous for things I wouldn't want to be famous for. Everybody at some time in their life, I think, wants to be known. I used to. Now I don't care if anybody knows me anymore. I mean, hey, less people know me, the less is required of me or expected out of me. You know, I mean, I just keep low cognito and keep a low profile, you see. But people want to be famous. But then you look at some folks are famous for being serial killers. I wouldn't want to be famous for that, would you? This man killed more people than anybody else in the world's ever killed before. That's not what I want to be famous for. I don't want to be famous for that. Some people famous for different crimes that they committed or different sins that they was involved in. I don't want to be famous for that. I know that there's some preachers, D.L. Moody is one of them, and Spurgeon and Billy Sunday and some of those guys, they're famous because of the preaching of the Word of God. And if I'm going to be famous, I'd rather be famous for that than just about anything else that I can think of. But Methuselah was just famous because he lived a long time. Third thing I want to point out this morning, Enoch. He was famous not because he lived a long time, because he lived less time than anybody back then. But he walked with God. Now I want to be famous this morning. I want people to remember me as somebody that walked with God. That would be something to be remembered for. What do you know about this fellow? Well, I know one thing. He walked with God. I'll take that. Any day of the week, I'll take that. Amen. Enoch was a man that walked with God. And one day, he got out and he probably, his morning, I just imagine this. Now, the Bible don't say this. I'm just kind of speculating a few of these things. But I can imagine Enoch got up in the morning, probably had a bite of breakfast with the family, and then he got out and he went out in the field and he began to plow and plant and reap or whatever that he was doing that day. And then after a little while, he said, well, I got to spend some time with God. And so he would walk off with God. And then a few hours later, possibly, Enoch would walk back. And the family might have said, well, did you enjoy walking with God today? Oh, yes, I enjoyed every step of it. I enjoyed walking with my Heavenly Father. I'm glad that God allows people to walk with Him. The Bible said in the book of Genesis down there, when after Adam and Eve had sinned, the Bible said that the voice of God came walking through the garden and said, Adam, where art thou? Amen. Listen, when God calls my name, I want to say, I'm right here, God. I don't want to be like Adam and say, I'll hid myself because I heard you coming. But Enoch didn't hide from God. He walked with God, and he's famous for that. Amen. And then one day he got up, probably done his eat his breakfast and maybe lunch and went out and done his farm work and said, well, I'm going to go walk with God. And he walked off and he walked farther and farther until he got farther with God than he ever been probably before. And he said, God, I guess it's getting time for me to go home. And God probably said, Enoch, we're closer to my home than we are yours, so why don't we just go there? And the Bible said Enoch walked with God, and then he was not, because God took him.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, that just means when God took him, he died. No, that ain't what it means. That ain't what it means at all. You can say that if you want to, but I'll show you in a minute. That's not what it's talking about. When it said God took him, it means God took him.
Amen.
He vanished from the face of the earth, never to be seen again. That's what Enoch's demise was. Enoch was a man that didn't have a death certificate because he never did die.
Amen.
I'll tell you something, I got some more about that in a minute. But listen, Enoch was famous for walking with God. He was famous because he walked with God so close that God took him out of this life.
Amen.
There was another man that walked with God kind of like that, old Elijah. And Elijah was a man that served God, lived for God. And Elijah, though, he kind of looked around everybody else. I'm not sure Enoch looked at everybody else. The shape the world was in at the time when Enoch was here, it had to be getting pretty bad, because by the time his grandson growed up and was 600 years old or 500 years old, it had gotten so bad that God said, I'm going to destroy everybody. So it had to be getting bad. But Enoch didn't have his eyes on what everybody else was doing. He just had his eyes on God. This, that's what we need to do today, church. Keep our eyes focused on Jesus.
Amen.
You watch Jesus, and I guarantee you He's watching you.
Amen.
And He's watching you watch Him. You know that old song they used to sing, crazy thing, said, I'm looking back to see if you're looking back to see if I'm looking back to see if you're looking back at me. Hey, listen, when you're looking at Jesus and He's looking back at you, I'll tell you something. You can have sweet fellowship
Amen.
With the Lord if you'll keep your eyes focus on Him.
Amen.
Too many times we get our eyes on everything else. My wife was telling me about something she read about a preacher. A woman went to pastor the church and said, preacher, I'm going to be leaving the church. He said, why? She said, because there's too much stuff going on around here. It ain't right. And I've been watching. I've seen this one do that and that one do this and that and those. And the pastor said, well, let me ask you to do a favor before you leave. She said, okay. He handed her a cup of water full up and said, can you walk around the church without spilling a drop of this? And she said, I think I can. And so she took the cup, walked all the way around the church, came back. He said, did you spill any? She said, no, not a drop. He said, well, can you tell me where my car is parked out in the driveway? Well, no, I didn't see that. Can you tell me about this over here? Well, I wasn't looking at that. Can you tell me about this? No, I didn't see that either. He said, well, why didn't you see these things? She said, I was had my eyes on the water. And he said, if you get your eyes on Jesus, you wouldn't see everything that everybody's doing around you. See, we concentrate on everything but Jesus. We need our eyes focused on Him. I believe Enoch was such a man that had his eyes and his mind on Jesus all the time, or on God. But we find Elijah, he was a man that walked with God. And the Bible said that God told him one day, He said, I'm getting ready to get you out of here. You go anoint Elijah as a prophet in your stead, and you go anoint a king over Israel, and you take care of these matters. And so Elijah knew he was going home. And so Elisha knew it too somehow. I'm not sure exactly how he knew, but I think Elisha, he might have studied Elijah a little bit. I don't know, but he was an understudy to it. And so Elijah tried every way in the world to get Elisha to depart from him just long enough for him to get out of here. And Elisha wouldn't do it. Elijah said, I got to go to a certain city. Elisha said, that's good. That's where I'm going to. He said, Elisha, I got to go to this other city, Jericho. He said, that's okay. I was headed that way myself. He said, I got to go to Jordan. Elisha said, when you get there, I'll be with you.
Amen.
He said, I got to go over here. Elisha said, when you stop and somebody runs into you, that'll be me because I'm going too. He kept Amen. His eyes glued on Elisha because on Elijah because he knew that the promise that Elijah made him was, if you see me when I'm taken away, you can have a double portion of the Spirit of God.
Amen.
And he was going to make sure he got it. How many of us would be so determined that we would just, listen, we need, you say, preacher, that's dogmatic. That's what we need to be.
Amen.
That's exactly what we need to be. And so Elijah, finally, the Bible said that a horse and chariot of fire came down. Now, I want you to raise your hand, but who in here, if you saw a horse and chariot of fire running across the parking lot, wouldn't drop everything you're doing and look at it? I would. Look at that. A horse and chariot of fire. I mean, it's flaming. Do you see it? Everybody here would say, yeah, I see it, because we'd all be looking at it. Not Elisha. Not Elisha. He caught a glimpse of it out of the corner of his eye, maybe. But I think Elisha said, I can see horses and chariots of fire anytime. I got to see Elijah.
Yeah.
I got to keep my eyes on the one that's got, he's got control of my blessing.
Yeah.
And the Bible said Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind. It doesn't say anywhere in that scripture that he went up in a flaming chariot. I know the painters, that's what they paint a picture of, Elijah with the reins of a flaming horse and standing in a flaming chariot. That's not what the Bible said. I believe the flaming horse and chariot was only a diversion to see if Elisha would look at that and quit looking at Elijah. But Elijah went up in a whirlwind. And then after he was gone, there was people in the city over there. The 50 prophets that stood and told Elisha, your master is going to be taken away. You better stay with us. He said, I want to stay with you. Y'all ain't doing nothing. You're just sitting around your dead wood. And you're not doing one thing for God. Why would I want to stay with that? So he followed Elijah. They said, he's going to be taken away. You better stay with us. And Elisha said, no, I ain't staying with you. I'm going where the action's at. And so he went. And the Bible said that when Elijah was taken up, that the 50 prophets were sitting there watching this.
Amen.
You know what I think their next thought was? We told him stay on this side of Jordan. He wouldn't listen to us. Now let's see how he's going to get back. He's on the wrong side of the river. Didn't bother Elisha. He grabbed Elijah's mantle when it fell, walked right out the Jordan River and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And smote the waters and it parted. And Elisha went right back over the same way he came. This, you keep your eyes on Jesus and he'll do things with you and for you. The men over there, 50 prophets, they said, we better go look for him because God may have took him up there and cast him onto some mountaintop or down into some valley. And Elisha said, don't bother looking for him. Don't bother going looking for him. You ain't going to find him. And they kept on and kept on. And the Bible said that they continued until Elisha was ashamed and embarrassed. And he finally said, well, go look if that's what you want to do. They went out and they stayed 3 days. 50 people, 3 days looking for Elijah. You know what they did? They came back and said, we couldn't find him anywhere.
Amen.
We couldn't find him.
Yes.
And Elisha said, did I not tell you not to go? I knew what you was going to find before you went. Now, I think that when Enoch walked off with God, I'm sure the family, they kept looking. It's supper time. Dad ain't home yet. Breakfast in the morning. Dad didn't come in last night. Dinner time. Dad still ain't here. And Methuselah probably said, well, I'll get a party together and we'll go look for him. They may have spent 3 or 4 days looking for him. And finally one of them said, we're not ever going to find him because you know he walked with God and I know where he's at.
Yeah.
God just took him out of here and we are not ever going to find him.
Amen.
Now the Bible don't say that. I'm just speculating again. I like to speculate on things sometimes. But I'll tell you when I'm speculating. Listen, what the Bible does say that Enoch walked with God and then he was not because God took him.
Amen.
Man, I want to tell you something. One of these days, I'm going to be like Enoch. If you're saved by God's grace, you are too.
Yes.
The Lord's going to come in the clouds of glory.
Yes.
And we all going to be taken home to be with Him.
Yes.
And there'll be so many missing, I don't know if anybody will even bother looking. But there won't be as many missing as they are left here behind.
Right.
But listen, Enoch, he was a man that he walked with God and then God took him.
Yes.
After they probably searched for him. I don't know. The Bible don't say they did. It just said that God took him.
Yes.
I want to tell you something about in 2 Kings, in the second chapter when Elijah was taken up. And those men kept urging Elisha till he finally let him go look for him. They said maybe God dropped him somewhere. I want to tell you something. The only one that's going to cast you somewhere is Satan.
Amen.
He will cast you on a mountaintop. He will cast you in a valley. He'll cast you in a river. He'll cast you in the depths of the sea. He'll cast you someplace where you won't have anybody to help you or care for you. That's the only one that will cast you away.
Amen.
And so we find that Enoch is gone and nobody knew where he was except they just assumed, I guess, after a while, well, we know he was walking with God. He must have got a little too close. How can you get too close to God? I want to be closer. The Bible said to submit yourself to God and draw nigh to Him and He'll draw nigh to you.
Amen.
That's my heart's desire, to be closer and closer to God. So don't anybody come and say, hey, you're getting a little too close to God there, buddy. No, I'm not. I'm still trying to get closer.
Amen.
But Enoch's gone. He's famous because he walked with God. And he's famous because God took him. And he's famous because he didn't die. Enoch was famous for a whole lot of things. Methuselah was famous for nothing. But Enoch's famous for quite a few things. But I want to tell you something. When Jesus comes back on the clouds of glory and takes me home, I'll be like Enoch. I won't have a death certificate either. So, well, when they figure out you're missing, I'm sure the state will issue one. There'll be so many people missing, I don't know if they'll even know who's missing. I don't know how they could possibly issue a death certificate for everybody. And besides that, that is not going to be their main concern. So I think if Jesus comes, I won't ever have a death certificate. That's my thinking. I mean, hey, you can get one if you want it. I hope you do, just for your family, but if they're left behind. But listen, I'm like Enoch. I'm not looking to have a death certificate. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the uptaker this morning. Enoch was famous because he walked with God. He's famous because his life was shorter than anybody else's. I think he's famous because he started having a family at age 65 instead of 165. And I see a lot of things about Enoch that I really like. Listen, Enoch's life was more than 600 years shorter than his son Methuselah. 600 years. Methuselah lived 600 years after his daddy died. That's not the way the order of things is supposed to be. But that's the way it was. And he lived 600 years after Enoch was translated. But Enoch's translation got everybody's attention. He got everybody's attention. Hebrews chapter number 11. See, Methuselah didn't get into the faith chapter for living a long time. But Enoch did get into the faith chapter for walking with God.
Amen.
Bible said by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death. Now you remember I said God took him, and some people would say he just died. Well, that's not what it said. In Hebrews it said that he translated that he should not see death. Now what does that mean? Means God took him, just like it said in Genesis. And he was not found. Says it right here. I don't care how big of a search party they sent out, they didn't find nothing. Because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Amen. Yeah.
Would you like to have a testimony that you please God?
Yeah.
I would. I try to. I work on that. I don't know if I got it yet or not, but I'm working on it, okay? I'm trying my best to have a testimony that I please God.
Yes.
It's not how long you live. It's how you live that counts.
Amen.
Methuselah lived 969 years and did nothing. Enoch lived 365 years and got God's attention, got the world's attention, and walked off with God because he was a man of God that walked with God, and he had a good testimony for God. 600 years less than the oldest man in the world, but he had more attention drawn to him. Don't take a long time to get people's attention. You know that? It don't. I'm telling you, I've seen people come to Jesus, lost, on their way to hell. They come to Jesus, and I mean people that I know their life, I know how they lived, I know what they did, I know what the pattern of things was, and they came to Calvary, and Jesus made a difference in their life, and then after you see them, a week later they're still changed. 2 weeks later, they're still changed. A year later, they're still changed. 10 years later, they're still changed. You know something? That gets my attention.
Amen.
And it gets my respect. And it makes a good impression on me. I tell you, I'm hard to impress, but that impresses me. It really does. It impresses me. Listen, the Bible said that Enoch had a wonderful testimony. He didn't live very long, but he had a real good testimony. My wife mentioned this morning about, we sang that song, "Too Many Miles Behind Me, Too Many Mountains I've Crossed, Too Many Rivers I've Waded Through." I look at that like a long time Christian on the road. But like she said, that could be somebody who just got saved. Don't have to be a long time. You realize that if somebody you know been saved and working for God for 25 or 30, 40 years and you got saved yesterday and you both die today, do you realize that you could have more rewards than they have? I won't even get into how that's possible, but you think about it. The Bible tells me that Enoch had a wonderful testimony. Wasn't no gravestone, so they couldn't say, "Here lies a man that walked with God," because he wasn't there then. I didn't have nothing to bury. If they did, it was just a phony grave. But you know something? I was reading some things one day, and I come across this. This is written on the grave marker of Bonnie Parker. And most of you know who that is. That's the other half of Bonnie and Clyde. And her mother, I think it was, that put it on her tombstone. "As the flowers are all made sweeter by the sunshine and the dew, so this old world is made brighter by the lives of folks like you." Now this is written on a tombstone of somebody that was a mass murderer. I mean, they killed two police officers just because they stopped to see if they was having car trouble. They didn't have any problem. If you were to live when they did and you got in their way, you would have just been another casualty. And yet her mother said, "This world is a lot better off because you passed through it." That's one of the biggest lies that I believe I've ever read in my life. Listen, you just because you think you're doing something good don't mean you are. A lot of people are legends in their own mind, not in their own time. And there's other folks today that would be just like that. They never done any good for anybody, to anybody, or about anybody, and yet people think the sun rose and set on them. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not trying to be like that. I'm trying to be somebody that makes a difference in somebody's life. If you want to win people to Christ this morning, you're going to have one way to do it. And that's by having the same testimony that Enoch had, that you love God and you walk with God. If you've got that testimony that And if you died today and people could walk around your casket and say, "And one thing for sure, they was a good Christian person. I never saw nothing out of them that wasn't Christ-like." I'm telling you something today. That goes a long way with Amen. The people that's left behind.
Amen.
Methuselah was 365. If you figure up these years, and I had it all figured up, but I forgot it now. See how long it takes to forget. But listen, Methuselah had a son named Lamech. Lamech had a son named Noah. Enoch lived 365 years. But if you figure out all those years that they was born, how long they lived, there's not much doubt in my mind that Noah had some acquaintance with Enoch before he was translated. I believe Noah, who the Bible said, when God saw the filthiness and the wickedness of the world, said, "I'm going down and destroy man that I've made." But Noah found grace in the eyes of God.
Amen.
Why? Because of Methuselah? I don't know. I don't find anything Methuselah ever did. Was it because of Lamech? I don't find anything he ever did either. I think Noah got his training from great-grandpa. I think he got his training from back there, or his grandfather. I think that he saw Enoch as a man that walked with God, and I think something sunk into Noah's head, and he said, "That looks like a way I want to do." I tell you something today, my wife and I, we talk about this a lot. I don't understand why people don't want to live for the Lord. Because you look around and you see the people that's not living for the Lord, and they got such a miserable life. I don't care if they got $1 million, they're miserable. I've heard millionaires say, I thought if I had money to buy anything I wanted in life, I'd be happy, and now I've got enough money to buy whatever I want, and nothing satisfies me. Don't want anything. Got all kinds of money, but I don't have any desire to buy anything. So what's the difference in that? And somebody that wants something don't have money to buy it. Ain't neither one of them is happy. But I tell you what, that person that don't have everything they want, if they've got Jesus, you're happy.
Amen.
You're happy if you've got the Lord.
Yes.
You are. And I tell you this morning, there's nothing in the world that takes place of God's love. But I don't find that Methuselah did anything for God. I don't find Lamech did anything for God. But I see where Enoch did, and I see where Noah did.
Amen.
Now that's a pretty wide range of years between those two, but I believe they knew each other. I want to tell you something, a lot of what I am today, whatever that's worth, I owe a lot of it to my dad. My dad taught me a lot. My dad has really been a Christian influence in my life. Don't anybody have any doubt about that. But I want to tell you something, my grandfather, he's the one that I look to as the one that has taught me so much. I'm telling you, I remember what he told my wife and I. He said, the greatest retirement plan in the world is to give God what you owe Him.
Amen.
What was he saying? He said, pay your church tithes and God will take care of it. That's what he said. I'm telling you something. He taught me things. He taught me. He went out and showed me his garden. Said, look here, I put out X amount of green beans. And if Carson been talking to him, he'd know exactly what he's talking about. I'm not a farmer, so I couldn't keep up with the story. But I know where the story ended. Planted this many beans, should have got this many bushel. And I told God, whatever you give me above what I need, I'll give it to the poor. And he said, when I went out to harvest my beans, they was 3 or 4 times more than what they should have been. Why? Because he got on his knees at the end of the last row and said, God bless.
Yeah, preach it,
brother. Let me tell you something. He taught me something about praying. He taught me something about being faithful to God. Listen, if you're teaching your family these things, now they're not always going to listen. I know that. Excuse me. I know they're not always going to listen to you. They're not always going to do what you say. But it's still your obligation to tell them.
Amen.
Every time you see them.
Yes.
And I'm going to close here in just a second. But listen, I told you about the man I witnessed to on the job. I talked to him, talked to him, talked to him. And he always told me every time I talked to him about the Lord, he said, preacher, just be quiet. I don't want to hear it. And one day I didn't talk to him. And after he got saved, he told my wife. He said, one day went by and he didn't say nothing to me. And I was scared to death. He'd give up on me and wasn't ever going to talk to me again. That's what he told me to do. But I didn't do it. See, a lot of times when people say, don't talk to me, what they're saying in their heart is, tell me something else.
Amen.
About Jesus. Tell me more about Jesus, because I need to know. What they're saying with their mouth is, I don't want to hear it. But their heart is saying, please tell me more. We sing songs that says, I want to know more about my Jesus. I want to know more about my Lord.
Amen.
I want to know more about that mansion. I'm going to receive my reward. I want to know more. Bible said that if we have a good testimony, it don't say it in these words, but our testimony is what people, you can say what you want to, but how you walk before your family, your friends, your co-workers, how you walk before them is what they are looking at, not what they hear coming out of your mouth, because so many people say one thing and do just the opposite. And I tell you, I know a bunch of them that's like that. They're hypocrites. That's all they are. I put in the bulletin last week, Brother Woody mentioned in Sunday school last week, the preaching that is the world needs the most is a sermon in the shoes that are walking with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
D.L. Moody said that. It's not the preaching that I bring from the pulpit. It's not the preaching on the radio. It's not the preaching on the TV. It's not the preaching on the internet. It's not any of these things. But the preaching that the world needs is what you live for Christ, walking in your shoes and following Jesus. That's the message that they're going to get. And I hope that you've got a good, strong message. We need to pray more, follow God more, live for Jesus more. While they come, get us a song this morning. Father, we thank you for giving us another privilege to stand today and preach the Word of God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for just the strength to stand this morning. Lord, I ask you to take this feeble message that we've tried to deliver. God, I ask you to touch every heart in this building in some way. Lord, help us, Father, that we would just turn our hearts and lives over to Christ and live for Him. Lord, be with us this morning, Father, I pray. God, convict hearts today. Deal with hearts, Father. God, anybody with a burden this morning, Lord, I ask you just to help them to bring it to Calvary and leave it. In Jesus' name, amen. While we stand this morning, while we sing, would you come? Anybody with a need this morning? Need forgiveness of sin, need saved, need a burden lifted, need something this morning? Come to Calvary today.